93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamolo's onside.
Oh, mate, your mic's going to go live now.
Jamolo,
right?
Nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
So on the eve of a huge televised clash tomorrow evening, it's lights, camera, action down here at the Number 6 Cinema as the club preview and the premiere of the film Ours is making its debut tonight in front of a star-studded crowd. Mason and I are alongside those, getting all the scoops, all the big interviews ahead of the big screening at 7:15 this evening. So stick around here on a very special edition. Sit back, relax and enjoy a special edition of the Wednesday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening. I hope the nerves haven't kicked in just yet. And welcome to, as I said, a very special edition of the Wednesday Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM, the only radio station on the city of Portsmouth, here at the Number 6 Cinema, as we got a beautiful spot right at the entrance of Action Stations. I'm sure many of you have been down to a glorious view over the Mary Rose as the sun sets across the Solent here in the city of Portsmouth. As I said, we're down here for the club premiere of the film Ours, which has been 5 years in the making, with lots of interviews, some familiar faces, the likes of Ian McInnes, you'll see in it, the likes of Bowram Chanright. Do you remember him? Those dark days going back, so many. We'll be speaking to some of the producers of it, we'll be speaking to some of the featured interviewees along the way. We've got plenty of exclusive interviews as the guests just filter in, as the sun just sets across the Mary Rose. It really is a special place to be. So we're going to crack on with the show this evening, as Mason Jordan caught up with the filmmaker Barnaby Fox, who was the filming our club for just over 5 years. So let's throw it over to that interview with Mason.
So we are joined now by the filmmaker of our club, Barnaby Fox. Obviously a big moment for you, this being released, but it's been a long while coming, isn't it?
It certainly has, yeah. I think you've got the opening of that perfect. It has certainly been a long while coming, and you know, something we're really looking forward to and very excited to be premiering in the Number 6 Cinema. So yeah, it's been a long journey, but hopefully one that will be rewarding, and you know, a journey that will be worth it, and one that the fans and the people who are fond of Portsmouth and the area will be really pleased with.
Okay, and what was your sort of journey to this film? Because obviously it's telling a journey of the football club, but what was your personal journey joining this and making this happen?
Yeah, I almost always say to people, actually, the way the film was made was almost quite similar to how the community came together and the fans came together to save the club. It was
right.
Had many ups and downs, and really, I kind of, if I'm being honest, I fell upon this project by a bit of a mistake, really.
oops.
As all great things do come about that way, perhaps. But, you know, I grew up in a time when, you know, Portsmouth were riding high under Harry Redknapp and you know, that promotion to the Premier League. And I remember watching Pompey at Fratton Park, and they were that team, possibly a bit like Bournemouth are now, we were saying earlier, that, you know, everybody was rooting for them. And I remember watching them win the FA Cup, soul lifting the cup, as it were. And then, really, and I sort of from there see them play against Arsenal, when Arsenal came down, the famous game with Thierry Henry, and from there they kind of dropped off the radar for me, and that kind of coincided with the timeline of the downfall of the club, really. And then in 2013 I went back with a friend of mine who was a Notts County fan. Portsmouth were playing them at home. We got to Fratton Park, it was hammering down with rain, and the game got called off, so we ended up in the Chimes Lounge for quite some time.
Right.
And as you do on a Saturday afternoon at the football, you have a few beers, you get chatting to people. And I distinctly remember Guy Whittingham walking through to the changing rooms, and some smart aleck shouted out to him, "Who's in the team today, Guy?" And Guy Whittingham very calmly turned around to them and said, "It depends who turns up." And I thought, wow, the last time I remember this club was, you know, Sol lifting the cup, Thierry Henry having a great game at Fratton Park. How on earth have we got to this stage where they're scratching around for players? So we put the idea of looking at what a community club... First of all, we have to ask the question, what is a community club? Like, what does that even look like?
Because there's not very many at all, is
there? Exactly, exactly. You know, you have to look at that. And very quickly, what you realise is to understand what a community club is, you have to understand how it got there. So this is kind of how it played out, was we wanted to look at the community club, but then the story that got you there... It's just fantastic, incredibly unique in football, I would say.
And I like this. I take it you're not a Portsmouth fan, but you're attracted to this story, and that's quite. It's quite a good thing that if you're a Pompey fan, if you live in Portsmouth, this film is going to be very, very close to your heart. But from an outsider's perspective, it's also like a very interesting story that the club has had over the last decade or so, isn't it?
Well, it's a relevant story to now and our time. You know, look at what's going on at clubs such as Bolton. This is, you know, Portsmouth, unfortunately, were probably the first big story for this to happen to. So they kind of became, you know, you've done a Portsmouth, as it were. I think Leeds were the one before, but I think Portsmouth decided to go the extra step. And it is a story. I mean, look, it's going to be great for people associated with the city and the club to kind of relive that time. And it'll be difficult for some people as well, because it was a, you know, many sacrifices were made. So I think, you know, people will watch back and think, oh, that's difficult to watch back. But also, this is very of now. This is very kind of relevant to our sort of, you know, our social climate now. And especially, you know, like I said, clubs like Bolton are in real big trouble. Maybe this is the inspiration piece to those guys and girls up there.
It's almost a season of troubles for a lot of teams, isn't it? There's Coventry having troubles of where they're playing. They've got, of course, Bolton having trouble whether they're going to be a team by next season. And I suppose this is, as you say, it's proper relevant to what's
happening
now.
This idea also of, I think, also plays into the hands of, you know, we can't rely on other people to sort this out for us. And that's ultimately what the story's about, is you know, there's no doubt the community bid ultimately came out of necessity. No one was coming in and saving them, right? So you have two very clear choices, in my eyes, is that you play Russian roulette and you take it to the last moment hoping someone's going to come in and save you, or you try and take control of that situation, and ultimately that's what happened, is a group of fans got together with a bit of nous and bought the club and saved it from potentially going out of, you know, total existence.
It's a sad story, isn't it? But it's such a sort of, I suppose, relieving one. In terms of telling that story, do you think being an outsider has kind of helped get the actual sort of the story across, rather than trying to, say, protect your club?
I think it was vital, to be honest with you, and I think it had to be someone from the outside to come in and tell this story. You know, I learned very early on, is, you know, Portsmouth, one of those cities where, you know, we'll say what we like about each other, but when someone else says something about us, we'll all club together and protect. And I think the danger of me being associated with Portsmouth Football Club in any way during that time, I think, would give me a bias towards some angle of the story. And, you know, that's not how it should be. The whole idea, my style of filmmaking is actually let the cameras roll, turn the microphones on, and let the people talk. And there is no conclusion to this film. The idea is that the audience will be able to watch it and make their own decisions on who did the right things and who didn't. Ultimately, everybody got the result they wanted. So, you know, we'll let the audience decide who was right and who was wrong.
I like this, because you mentioned there the fans that almost being really protective over their club, and the city itself is very passionate about not only the city, but Pompey is one of its highlights. And Do you feel sort of the pressure of the reaction that this film's going to have? How does that compare to, say, other films you've made up until this point?
Yeah, look, you take on a football club film, you're never going to please everybody. And what we've tried to do is in the way that we film, you know, we've got 38 people we've interviewed, we've got 38 protagonists in this film who have made it into the film.
Okay.
So if anybody comes back to say that we've not cast the net, you know, far and wide, I would argue that we definitely have. And we made a real conscious effort to do that. You know, we did get to periods of the film where we were like, okay, right, this is the end now. And then someone else would come forward and you say, okay, we'll do one more interview. You know, that one more interview probably turned into, you know, 10, 15 one more interviews. But you do, of course you take on the pressure. Absolutely. This is a passionate city. Like, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, this is a city where, you know, you can't just come in and blag your way through things. It took time to get into people, for people to trust us. It took time to kind of become legitimate, I suppose, among the Pompey fans. But when it did happen, by God, did it happen. You know, we have been on away days. We have been invited into people's houses. You know, I regularly chat to people socially who have been a part of this film. So, although difficult at first, I very much feel now part of the Pompey family. And, you know, I know I support a team in South London. But, you know, whenever I look through the results on the Saturday, I'm always checking the Pompey score. And it was said very early on, and maybe it's a little bit of a cliche, in that, you know, they've always said, you know, it gets underneath you, this club, and it gets into you, your skin. And no doubt now that, you know, Pompey and Portsmouth will be with me until my dying breath, no doubt.
I was going to say, spending time with all these people that are so passionate about the club, it's hard to be drawn into it and almost become part of it yourself, isn't it?
You can't not. You know, when you are talking to the likes of Paul and Sarah Banks, who invite you round for what you think is just going to be a cup of tea and an interview, and you walk in and they've decked their whole front room out to be a Portsmouth bar, you just think, wow, if there's something that's not going to get you into this film, you know, if this ain't going to do it, then you might as well just go home now. And, you know, I think there are characters in this film that really shine out. You know, Paul and Sarah Banks are one for me. But I got interviewed this morning and someone said, well, who was your favourite character? And to be honest with you, it's a question I've been toying with through the whole editing process of this film. As you go, oh, you know, you try and you pick someone out and you go, yes, they are my favourite. But honestly, you can't. But I think visually there are a few people in the film that really stand out for me as just being, that really wore their heart on their sleeve, which is great for a filmmaker. Mm.
So that's just a little taster of what you can expect from Our Club, the film which has been produced, and executive producer Colin Farmery, who's going to be our next guest, if we can try and track him down and speak to him, the brains behind the film. So join us after the break here on the Wednesday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening. Welcome back to the second part of a very special Wednesday Football Hour here at the Number 6 Cinema at Action Stations, live at the premiere of Our Club, a film made by official Pompey documentary, in the lows and the highs, the fan ownership, with plenty of interviews. It's a must-see film. I think there's a few tickets available for dates later on in May. It's absolutely delighted to say I'm joined alongside by Colin Farmery, who's the man of the hour at the moment. Colin, how did this film come about?
Well, that's a $64,000 question. I mean, this film has been in gestation for probably about 5 years now. I think Barney Fox, who's the filmmaker, he sort of came into the club around about 2014. I was doing a bit of PR work for the club at the time, and I had a load of people, who independent filmmakers, all of whom wanted to tell the Pompey story, but Barney stood the test of time, and he's last man standing, really. And here we are, a few ups and downs on the way, but 5 years on, you know, we've actually finally got this film over the line. And very, very proud moment, and a very exciting one as well.
For people listening in who obviously know the story as a fan who's been through it, but might not know the script in terms of what Barney has produced, could you give us a brief outline of what to expect?
Well, I think one of the important things about this film was Barney and I were both very clear, because it was done in sort of partnership with the football club, you know, they've cooperated fully with this, but we were both very clear that what we wanted to ensure that we told is as full a story as possible. So it's not a film that is going to simply tell it from one perspective. Everybody who is a protagonist in this film has had an opportunity to have their say, and in the end I think what Barney has tried to do is, in the end, he wants people to listen to people having their say, and then they can make their own minds up in terms of how, on what level they read the story. And for me, and you know, I've probably seen this film more than most, I think he's done a fantastic job in doing that. And I think it's important to stress, though, that you know, you might have seen Manchester City produce the documentary, or they chucked £10 million at that. Sunderland have kind of like done this Sunderland Till I Die kind of like production. Yeah, I was at Sunderland on Saturday. They've got a film crew of nine, let alone everybody else. This film is two guys with a camera chasing a football club with an Apple Mac in a makeshift studio, putting this film together, and my incurable optimism kind of like sewing the whole thing together to try and keep the show on the road when it very nearly went off several times. So what you see is what you get. And I'm not for one minute suggesting that low budget means low quality, far from it. But in the end, you know, this is not a slick PR job. This is a real life story of probably the most fantastic achievement by any group of supporters anywhere, if I'm honest, you know. And I just hope everybody feels that we do that story justice.
I'm sure they will. I'm when you're just talking there about quality, I remember there was an interview, I think, with one of the Top Gear people, where they say what you don't see is what ends up on the cutting room floor. You're not just trimming around the edges, you're almost cutting off limbs and such. How much of the stuff which isn't on the film could you make a film out of what's left?
I mean, to be honest, I mean, we have discussed this. We could have probably made a six-part series out of this, and we could have had 6-hour-long shows and still not got through all the good stuff. So yeah, Barney's had some tough editorial decisions to kind of decide what to keep in and what to leave out. I mean, primarily this film is a downloadable film, so we're hopefully going to be, you know, that version will be coming out end of June, beginning of July is our target at the moment. But also we are looking at the possibility of doing a DVD where we might be able to add in some of that bonus footage at that point.
So there's lots of it. I mean, what is this a film exclusively for Pompey fans, or is this a wider footballing story in general?
It's a wider footballing story, without a shadow of a doubt. And it's not just a football story, right? To be honest, this film, not only should it be an inspiration to the supporters of Bolton Wanderers at the moment with what they're going through with their club, for instance, but also what it is it's a story of, first and foremost, a community, a group of people who come together with a shared characteristic or aim, and what do? They save their football club and then run it very well. It is a fantastic story. You know, we as supporters took on the bad guys and we won.
I mean, just looking at the plight of Bolton Wanderers at the minute, and with a lot of talk about actually how fit and proper are the Football League or those governing football, is there a lesson in that as well inside the film?
Well, yes and no, because I think probably to be fair to the Football League, the way they treated Pompey, we couldn't have asked any more from them. You know, the Football League, the way they treated Pompey, were fantastic. So I think I'm going to be the last one that's going to criticise the Football League over their treatment of Portsmouth. But I think in the wider football arena, clearly ownership of clubs and who gets to own clubs is a fundamental question, because these are beyond businesses. You know, at the end of the day, we talk about running football in a business-like way, but we've got to recognise that they're beyond simple businesses. So therefore, you know, football has a responsibility to try and ensure that we stop the bad guys getting through the door.
And just, I guess, back to this film as well. Obviously, you said you've seen this film more than most. I'm sure you and Barney ready to let the masses see it. What are the highlights for you? So people who have their tickets on the 22nd and 29th of May, what are the highlights for them?
Well, I think I think the one thing I will say is, even though I have seen it loads of times, there are still some great lines in there from individuals, right, to sum up either the elation or the despair or the stupidity of the kind of like the situation. Some great one-liners from individuals. You know, kind of Ian McInnes has got some great one-liners in there. Mark Catlin's got some great one-liners in there. The inimitable Bob Beach has got some great one-liners in there. And you know, there are others as well. So there's some great moments that are captured. There's some great inside footage, right, in terms of, if you want to know what it was like in the changing room before that Plymouth playoff semi-final at Fratton Park, then this is the film for you, because in the end we've got some great insider stuff on the inside track on what was a dramatic game. And in the end, it has got the most fantastic ending.
it's certainly one to look forward to. I mean, could you have, I guess, scripted that ending any better?
Well, I mean, it was a bit serendipitous, really, to be honest, because our original plan was that we got to 2016 and we were planning to actually call an end to the film in May 2016, because that was the time that we were hoping Bombay were going to get to promotion in the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, Plymouth went and messed that particular plan up. So in the end, it gave us another year's sort of thinking time. So Barney, who's the filmmaker, he's now lives in Australia. He, by pure chance, happened to be over around the time that we were playing Cheltenham on the last day of the season in 2017. He brought his camera along and he managed to persuade Marie, our head of safety officer, to let him in to do some great shots. And they're in the film.
That's incredible how these things work out. I mean, the obvious question is there room for a sequel?
Well, I think for sure. I think ultimately, you know, we're hoping under Tornante ownership that there may well be the opportunity to do a sequel of some kind, and that they'll have the chance to tell their own story. But I think we've very much made a great prequel.
And just away from the film as well, you've been involved in the football club, I'm sure, throughout the fan ownership. Very, very much people used to seeing you on the pitch as well. Will we still continue to see in and around Fratton Park?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I'm Pompey till I die, as they say, in that sense. And you know, I think I'm now on record as I'm retiring on June the 30th. But I'm hoping I'm still going to be involved in the club. Certainly, I'm very much involved in the history side of things. That's, you know, my passion. So, yeah, you certainly haven't seen the last of me yet.
Colin, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to seeing it, and as I'm sure many are. Is there many tickets available for those people who missed out?
Unfortunately, the two shows, 22nd and 29th, have already sold out, but there are a very, very limited number of tickets available on the door. So if you turn up on the 22nd at the number 6 or the 29th at the number 6, you can get in on the door. But we're also exploring potentially doing a stream in some other venues around the area as well. So watch that space, but it will be available on download, hopefully from end of June, beginning of July.
Fantastic. Colin Farmery, thank you very much. Executive producer, and taking your time out of a very busy schedule. Look forward to seeing you in and around Fratton Park. So that is it for the second part down here at the number 6 cinema at the premiere of Our Club. Plenty more interviews to get to you. We'll also have an interview as my former journalism lecturer gives me away from the balcony. So it's a really fun place to be at the minute. The perfect way to settle your nerves ahead of a huge playoff game tomorrow. So join us after the break, where we hope to hear from the news is Neil Allen, and we'll also hear more from Mason's chats with filmmaker Barnaby Fox.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to the number 6 cinema at the premiere of Our Club, where we'll be talking all things Pompey for the next half an hour or so. Absolute pleasure to say I'm joined by two very special guests, two contributors to the film, in fact. Chief sports writer of the Portsmouth News, Neil Allen, as well as former chairman, Mr. Ian McInnes. Ian, I'll start with you. How are things, first of all? Last time we spoke was in a pub, yes, and now we're back.
I was doing an act, wasn't I?
Yeah.
In the pub that got mainly censored, as I remember.
Yeah, but it was family weren't too happy.
What go was that?
Day before Cheltenham.
Yeah, right, okay. Seems a long time ago now. Okay, yeah, great. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to all the listeners. How I guess excited are you from, I guess, the film coming from your side as well, from the PST, and looking at it from a new perspective?
Well, I haven't seen the film, so I don't know what it's going to be, but it's a good thing to do. I mean, you know, it was a major achievement to do what we did. And if anything, I suppose, this is not so much for those that were involved at the front, shall we say, but more for the fans and the 2,500 odd people that contributed that haven't got much in the way of exposure for what they did. So, yeah, I think it's good. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Very much so. And Neil as well, I guess you were in part of the, I guess, the coal face of it, as it were. You went through right to the Pompey, right to the bottom, and then to the top as well. Again, your excitement for seeing the film?
Well, the interviews for these took years ago. I don't know about Ian, but I think mine was about three and a half years ago. And a lot of us spoke for, I think it was about 2 hours with me, and I spoke to quite a few people for 2 hours as well. So first of all, goodness knows how they're going to edit 2 hours into, say, 1 or 2 minutes screen time, if that. And also, I can't even remember what on earth I said. And speaking to people again involved, it was quite a cathartic experience, really, wasn't it? To reflect on it, and
cathartic, can't you?
And it was an incredible experience to talk about it as well. And so I'm just fascinated to see what transpires on the screen, hear people's accounts, see it all come together. And what's lovely is that you go up to that room up there, and I don't know if Ian's had a chance to go up there yet, you know everyone in that room. So you have lots of familiar faces, you know, troops from the front line there, and everyone in there. And it's a really good community event tonight as well. It's fantastic as well to be reminded of a wonderful period in Pompey's history, because it was, because it saved the football club.
Ian, I'm getting daggers from Colin Farmery, so I'll just be very quick on one of the favourite bits of Fratton Park, I'm sure. One of my favourite bits at Fratton Park was seeing some of the emotion through you in the box as well. We get to relive some of those as well.
Do you really? Okay. In that case, I'll see you in the pub after. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I guess that the one thing I can always be accused of is being me. As I said before, I said many times to Neil, if they'd have called me chief fan as opposed to chairman, because they only ever wanted the chairman when somebody needed fire and somebody needed the blame. So chief fan would have been it, and the emotion you saw was genuine, and I'm still the same way. I guess I'll die that way.
Brilliant. Ian, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much. Also joined as well by Bob Beach as well, who many of you will know from the Pompey Independent Supporters Trust. But well, Bob as well, you were very much in the coalface of this as well, and there's going to be a lot in this film, I guess, which but hasn't made it, and there's a lot that people don't
there's a lot in this film that couldn't be made. I'm not sure what the limitations of some things are in the eyes of the law. So, listen, some of the stuff that we did was a bit down and a bit dirty, but that's how this football club is, that's how this city is, let's be honest with you. When SOS Pomp was formed, and the name, I've been asked a couple of times tonight, it's a homage to the 1976 campaign, when we were in trouble then, and believe it or not, I was just a schoolboy then. But a little story on the 76 campaign. Me and a couple of mates, Chorday Barra from Charlotte Street Market, and we went round the city getting newspapers from, and then there's a place called Maybank, which is by Dundas, which people would know as Admiral Lord Nelson School. Opposite there, you used to be able to take it there and they'd buy the old newspapers from you. So we were green even in them days. And so we spent the summer of 76, which most people remember for being boiling hot, going around the city on this chalk barrow, getting newspapers to save our club. Fast forward all these years, and we're still bloody doing it. some of the stuff that the SOS Pompey, and there were some great people involved, you know, too many to mention, and they're real unsung heroes. And, you know, we were doing things, we were putting tweets out, you know, to say, right, be at the training ground at this time, and giving people a couple of hours notice, and there was 40, 50, 60 people turning up, and it was fantastic. And all of these people done their bit, and it's really sad that people like Tony Goodall and Ken Malley aren't here tonight, because without them two guys and others, that, you know, there would not be a Portsmouth Football Club today. And I mean, tonight's going to be good and we're going to see the film, we're going to have a few laughs and whatever, but there'll be some tears as well, because, you know, there's some real friendships, you know, made, you know, we bonded under the adversity of not having a Portsmouth Football Club to come and watch and moan about.
Yeah, I'm sure many people need that therapy at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. I mean, we're also going to hear from Shane Rye as well. I mean, it's one of those where, are you interested to hear what he has to say? Do you care what he has to say? Do you want some justifications for what he put the club through?
He will never be able to justify what he did. I don't really care about anything he's got to say. I didn't really care about anything he had to say at the time, so why should I today? It's only right that he should be in this, because obviously that's a important part of this film. Of course it is. You know, anybody who says different, you know, they really need to have a word with themselves. It is what it is. But, you know, at the end of the day, we did what we always do in this city, and we won through. We stood together, you know, and said, bring it on, and we took the fight to them.
Speaking of taking the fight to them, and this is really putting you on the spot at the minute, when you think back to those days of SOS Pompey, is there one story that sticks in your mind that may or may not have made the film, or one thing that people actually, yeah, they've seen? That I remember you've told me many times before that, yes, you see the, you know, the fans say from the club, but if you actually knew the true story and what went round and what part some of it would explain in this film as well.
There's some things. I mean, something that's not in this film, I don't think it is anyway. Right at the end, we thought we'd lost, and there was a small band, I think three, maybe four people, sat in the room, and we made a pact that not a single game would kick off at Fratton Park under the ownership of Portpin. And thankfully, we never had to come to that, but it would have happened, and some of us would have been serving, doing some bird today, I should imagine.
Operation Armageddon.
We could call it that, but that was what it was called. It was called Operation Armageddon, and we made a pact that not a single game would kick off.
And finally from me, Bob, there are some names as well, I guess, that people probably don't know as well. Is there any names that you would like to mention of people who should get an honourable mention?
Yeah, there's lots of people that should have a mention. Kate Osterholm, Jane Osterholm, Carl Padden, Vern Rickman, all of these. There's hundreds. I could go on and on and on. These people that really put their life and soul into making sure that we've got a club to moan about come 7:45 tomorrow.
Bob, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking your time out.
Always happy to, James. It's let's hope we're never having this conversation again in the nicest possible way.
I'll see you in the crook tomorrow. Bob, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. So we are going to go to a break now. Thank you so much for taking the time out listening to us. This show will be available. I could also put you into the point that you're in the direction of the Pompey Listener's Choice Player of the Season Awards, which you can find on the Express FM website. Whoever you think is the Player of the Season, put your nomination on there. Obviously, votes close tomorrow. So as you're listening to this ad break, make sure that you do that. So we'll be back for the final part of the Wednesday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening. Welcome back to the final part of the Wednesday Night Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. Absolutely delighted to be joined by Eric Colborne, who was a familiar face throughout many of the plights and the rise of Portsmouth as well. We're just chatting a bit there. He's don't know what to make. Have you seen any of the film at all?
Just a very, very small trailer, James, literally just a couple of minutes. I know there's some very interesting people that apparently have contributed to it. Some I should imagine won't be too popular, but yes, it's going to be very interesting to see how this is portrayed tonight. I'm certainly looking very, very much forward to it.
I asked the question to Bob Beach, and I said, are you looking forward to hearing from some of the characters, some of the not so popular characters, about any justifications, any their side of the story? Do you care really about their side of the story, or is this more about the fans getting involved, saving the club, or is this the story of Portsmouth Football Club?
I think it's a bit of both, James. I think it's trying to document the fall and rise, if you like, of the football club, and picking up from every angle that they can. But the main story of it is a fantastic job done by so many fantastic people at this football club. And I'm so honoured to know so many of them. I really am. They're fantastic people. And as I say, I take my hat off to each and every one of them.
I mean, it's one question I don't think I've asked you on the Football Hour before. I'm trying to wrap my brains. I mean, many people know that you are part of the story, but they don't know the Eric Hall, the personal story. But I mean, in a brief summary, I mean, what is your personal side of this story?
I tried to do whatever I could, wherever I could, James, keep it all together. I was very lucky to be the sort of invited in, if you like. I'd obviously sort of said that I was keen to help wherever I could, and it sort of went from there. Very small group of people fortunately got together and decided that, you know what, we're going to save this football club come what may, because the worst thing in the world, you know, to let this football club die. And on the back of that, and some incredible people doing some incredible work, you know, we managed to save it. And that was due to, as Bob Beach was saying there, many, many unsung heroes throughout that period of time that did some fantastic work. And as I say, I'm very, very proud to say that I know so many fantastic people at this football club.
I mean, is there too many to name? Is there any in particular which stand out?
Oh, far too many, James. You know, if you start picking names, you leave somebody else out, and that's wrong. I just find it difficult to sort of, you know, as I say, the whole group of people were phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, and I really do take my hat off to them. There were people that were putting huge sums of money in, what they call the high net worths, or then they became the presidents, which are fantastic group of people, they didn't blink when the money was being used week in, week out. They were losing a lot of money. You know, people forget that we became the preferred bidder, as they call it. I think it was in October, and we didn't take the club over to April. And in that time, the administrator was asking every week, oh, here's my bill of the money I've lost, and if you don't pay it, I'll liquidate the club. Well, you do that week in, week out, and with a group of businessmen who are used to making sensible decisions in their business lives rather than stupid decisions in their business lives. Somebody said to me it was just like throwing money down a black hole, and that's what it really was like doing, because you couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, the goal of taking the club over seemed to be never in view. It was always something that was stopping us, and, you know, the obstacles that were put up along the way. But as I say, that group of people, and they are phenomenal people, and the people were named, you know, on the Wall of Fame. And then the 2,500 shareholders, and that's obviously a lot more than 2,500 people, because obviously some of them were syndicates that put their money up. This will never, ever happen at another major football club, James. I can assure you that. I said it at the time, and that's 6 years ago, and that's how we are. I believe it today. It'll never happen again. And that it's sad in one way, but in another way, it just shows how fantastic our supporters are.
How many obstacles between October and April, as you mentioned there, where it's the money's going to the administrator, it's not like it's even going into repairs at Fratton Park, it's not going to helping recruitment on the pitch, it's literally just like throwing your money into the sea behind us. Was there ever a time during that period where you thought, do you know what, we're struggling here?
Struggling. Yes, I mean the problem sort of laid with the fact that you couldn't see us ever being able to take the football club over. It just seemed to be one problem after another, and all sorts of obstacles that seem to be put in your way. And you know, a normal person will sort of say, well, hang on, what's stopping us taking this football club over? But to get a straight answer seemed to be impossible. You'd sort of get a, well, you need to do X, Y, and Z. So you do X, Y, and Z, and then, oh, well, no, hang on, there's other problems now that have cropped up, you know, sort of thing. You've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do something else. And it, I think the biggest problem was you're dealing with different groups of people. You know, you've got the Football League, you've got obviously the Premier League, because obviously when we went into administration, we were in the Premier League. People forget that. We're the only club ever to go into administration in the Premier League. You've got your creditors. You've got, I mean, the wonderful staff at Fratton Park that worked, you know, a lot of them without wages for a long period of time. And again, they're phenomenal people. Phenomenal people that really did a magnificent job in that time, and it was very, very difficult in that period of time to ever see that you could take it over. But the fantastic thing was that no one gave up. Everybody stuck at it, even at the last, when it looked like we failed and we weren't going to get it. Everyone stuck together. Nobody sort of said, oh, I'm throwing the towel in. Everybody kept going. And that's an amazing feat. And as I say, to all the people, the thousands of people that helped us and supported us and took shares and went into syndicates and, you know, did the work and all the history side of things and worked tirelessly. I thank them from the bottom of my heart. I really do. And there's far too many to mention. As I say, I thank the staff at the football club, the backroom staff, brilliant. And a lot of those people are still here today. And I can't do enough for them. I think they're fantastic people. And we were very fortunate, obviously, to be able to bring Mark Catlin in as our CEO. And Mark's obviously done a fantastic job and still here today and under the new regime of Michael Eisner. And we're going forward. And we're going forward as a confident club with great supporters and, well, the sky's the limit.
Confident club, great supporters. That's a great way to look at tomorrow.
Yes. What another fantastic opportunity for us. We're again in a situation where we can go to Wembley. A win tomorrow night, obviously by
hook or by crook, get to Wembley. In a word, who would your player of the season be?
Oh, that's a difficult one. That is very, very difficult indeed. There's quite a number of contenders there, actually. I think, obviously, most people would say Matt Clark. But I think our goalkeeper, McGilvery, has been phenomenal. And I think Tom Naylor.
He's been many people's choice, Tom Naylor. But thank you so much, Eric, for joining us here on the Wednesday Football Hour. And we look forward to seeing you credited in the film as well.
Thanks, James. Lovely to be here and speaking to you all.
Thank you very much. So that was Eric Holborn there, who was co-opted onto the board between the president and the PSD and plays a fundamental role in the film. Thank you so much for joining us. So let's round off this evening by hearing Mason's chat with filmmaker Barnaby Fox.
So going back to that skeleton comment, like being genuine to the story and not necessarily saying Pompey's great, Pompey's great, Pompey's great, because of course there must have been something that went wrong in that process for this story to have happened. So I suppose telling that story in a way that, you know, highlights the good in the club, but also actually what went wrong. Mm. That must have been sort of the crucial element to this.
What I found when I got there was that there was many different versions of the story. And it's who do you or where do you go to find out what actually happened is very difficult. And look, the story's actually quite simple. You know, it's a timeline process, and you know, when I think the film demonstrates this, we have Ian Dark narrating the film, and he almost takes on the role of holding the hand of the audience and saying, right, this was the owner, this is the time, this is the debt, boom, boom, boom. And once you boil it down to that, the rest of it is relevant, but it's opinions. when you look at the hard facts in what we've done and extensive research into this, it's quite a simple process. It's people coming in, trying to make a fist of it and just not having the means to do so, and what consequences that brings, basically.
Okay, and it is a very important story for the city. We loosely know what happens. We loosely know, like, this happened. This was when it had the downfall. This is when we got back up to League Two, and we sort of know those sort of plot points. What are people going to get from this film for actually going to see this?
Well, I think for the first time, and if I'm being honest, I think this only really happened maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, was I think there is now a... I think, you know, well, I wouldn't call it a product, but a piece of material that really plays out what happened, which I think for the first time you can actually, you know, pinpoint this and say, right, this is what actually happened, which is, you know, especially since I've been involved with the club, like I said, I heard 38 different variations of actually what happened. This is telling and pointing to actually what did happen. So that's the core element. I also think the second part of this is we sort of see the behind the scenes of what a community club looked like. And to the outside world, and the Disney spin on this, as it were, would be, you know, well, the fans got together and the club was saved and it was all wonderful. Far from it. Far from it. You know, the club was run by the community, yes, but that came with its own struggles. And again, we have to show that, because we can't just go, right, everybody held hands and we danced off into the sunset. It was far from that. You know, you have a eclectic mix of people coming together. You know, everybody's not going to agree. That's just not going to happen. So I think the audience of this film will we've nailed down the what happened. Great. But also, you know, it's not easy running a community football club, and that's going to shine through as well. But then with the lows, you ultimately get the highs, which are hopefully we're going to be ending on.
Okay, good. And I suppose with the recent sort of Tornate takeover, mm-hmm. in the last 2 years, it's important to, I suppose, tell this story of the community, because we don't want to sort of forget about how everyone came together to save Portsmouth Football Club, do we?
Absolutely not. And I think it's very clear. I think we need to make it very clear. It's, you know, I'm sometimes a bit sceptical of sort of going, well, you know, the community did save the football club, but this is still a community club. Okay, it's just changed ownership, right? That to me is it. The fans are still as passionate. They love their club. And I think, you know, speaking personally, I think you've now got owners who understand what that looks like. And if I think it took the likes of Tornante to come in, and I think they probably would have been the only people to be trusted, really, to run that. Because it needed someone with that credibility, if that makes sense,
yeah.
Because of the history and whatnot. You know, we don't want to... The club's moved forward, ultimately, you know, in a very exciting position now. You know, when this film goes out, you know, a day later, you know, can Pompey make it into the League One playoffs? So the club's moved forward, but that doesn't mean that we can't sometimes reflect. And, you know, this will be there for fans to remember, you know, that this can happen. And also, you know, it might add a little bit of kind of solidarity to, you know, people around the country whose clubs are going perhaps through different, you know, through troubled times, that a group of people, you know, that community element of coming together can actually, with a bit of nous and a bit of brain power, can achieve something.
And was it a big sigh of relief when it was all done?
Well, yeah, it's going to be really strange, actually, because this has been a massive part of my life for quite some time now. And I think that's you know, you say, what's the difference between this and other films, is, you know, perhaps other films I've done have kind of been a period of time in history, whereas football club, it's an ever-changing thing, so it's always being talked about. So that's going to be... I'd like people to enjoy it first. So once that's happened and I'm back on my way home on a plane to Australia where I reside, then maybe I might enjoy a glass of champagne on the way back if it all goes well.
Okay, so if you live in Australia, there won't be a season ticket next season, but you'd definitely be watching Ally fellow, yeah.
Exactly. Well, exactly. Indeed. And trust me, I'll get criticised by the Australian Football Board, but the level's not quite the same out there. So you have to get into something like Aussie Rules, which is a game which I've lived in Australia now for 2 years and I still don't understand the rules of it. So maybe I'll have to follow tennis or something. I don't know.
Good old fashioned football. You can't beat it.
You definitely can't. Definitely not a Fratton Park anyway. No better place.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Barnaby.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So I hope after that you're as excited as I am for seeing the film, which we are here at the Number 6 Cinema. Jake returns on Friday, where he'll be hopefully reviewing another Pompey trip to Wembley. So as ever, thanks for listening and keep the faith.